We're in the book of Judges, chapter number 20, getting ready for verse number 18 today. This is an event that took place probably in the first half of the 1300s BC, in that second generation of Israel within the land. During a time when there was no king in Israel, and everyone was doing as they saw fit in their own eyes. This story helps explain how Benjamin came very close to being extinguished from the tribes of Israel. And it's all full of sin. It's all full of bad choices that are being made here. We have a Levite who has procured for himself a concubine, a secondary wife. And when he feels threatened by potential homosexual rape, he throws her out to the gang that was trying this at Gibeah of Benjamin. And they do. They rape her. They victimize her all through the night, and she dies the next morning on the threshold of the building in which this man was staying. So he takes her body home and cuts her up and sends her out as a message that Gibeah needs to be punished. And so Israel shows up en masse. The militia of the tribes show up, 400,000 of them, and they demand that Gibeah hand over the persons responsible for execution, but they won't. Instead, the Benjamites, they muster up 26,000 of their own military-aged persons and effectively prepare to fight against the amassed other tribes. So we are ready for verse 18 that we expect is going to be an immediate defeat for the Benjamite tribe because they've got so few people as compared to the massed Israeli militia members. But that's not how it plays out. So verse 18 says, "The people of Israel arose, and they went up to Beth-El and inquired of God." Now, they're at Mizpah. That's where they've gotten their forces together, which is only 3 miles from Gibeah of Benjamin. Bethel is about 7 miles, maybe 8 miles north of that area. It is not supposed to be the place where the Ark of the Covenant is located. It's not supposed to be the place where the high priest is located. That's all supposed to be up at Shiloh, quite a few miles even farther north. So the question has to be asked, why are they going to Bethel to ask of God? And we can only guess at the answer, but I'm going to offer you some suggestions. Number one is that possibly the high priest and the Ark of the Covenant have been moved closer to where the battle is going to happen in order to be available. And that is a possibility. The other possibility is that Bethel has already set up an alternate place of worship, and that there is a priest or a supposed prophet located at Bethel that these guys are inquiring from, and that it's not actually the high priest. So those are the potentials that we're talking about here. So what happens next is the question is put forward, who shall go up first to fight for us against the people of Benjamin? And he who is said, Judah shall come up or go up first. So they're doing this question and answer with a yes-no drawing of a lot, if they're not using the Urim and the Thummim, which is possible. And the answer that they get is that the Judah contingent of the militia should be the first ones that assault the walls of Gibeah, or fight against the fighters of Benjamin. So the people of Israel rose in the morning, and they encamped against Gibeah, and the men of Israel went out to fight against Gibeon, or against Benjamin, and so this would be the Judah tribe taking the lead. And the men of Israel drew up in the battle line against them at Gibeah. And the people of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and destroyed on that day 22,000 men of the Israelites. But the people, the men of Israel, took courage and again formed the battle line on the same place where they had formed it on the first day. So the militia led by the tribe of Judah, 400,000 strong of them, they lose 22,000 of their militia members. This is because everybody's out of step with God. God is letting judgment fall on both sides here. That's the explanation that I think we need to accept. Even though he said, yeah, go ahead and send the Judah tribe up first, he had no intention of helping them win on this day, because everyone is doing what they feel is okay in their own hearts. That's the problem with the period of the judges. Well, they get beat the first day, but they take courage and figure, well, we'll win on the second day. So they line up. Verse 23, the people of Israel went up and wept before He Who Is until the evening, and they inquired of He Who Is, shall we again draw near to fight against our brothers, the people of Benjamin? And He Who Is said, go up against them. So they check in, supposedly, you know, through proper means with God to see whether or not they should hit them again. And God's response apparently is, yeah, go ahead and do it. But guess what happens on day two of the fight? Verse 24. So the people of Israel came near against the people of Benjamin the second day, and Benjamin went against them out of Gibeah that second day and destroyed 18,000 men of the people of Israel. All these were men who drew the sword. So they've now lost, a total of 40,000 militia members in this fight against 27,000 Benjamites. This is God bringing judgment against the people of Israel for sins committed, not just simply there at Benjamin's tribe of Gibeah with the rape and murder of the concubine of the Levite. This has got to do with judgment of sins multiplied many times over throughout the entire 12 tribes. Well, they're still not done. It says where'd we drop off here? We were in verse 26. Then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up, and they came to Bethel, and they wept. And they sat there before He Who Is and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before He Who Is. Now, I want to point out that they're not supposed to be offering such sacrifices except at Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle is located. But they're doing it anyway because the theme of this time period is there was no king in Israel those days, and each person did as they saw fit in their own eyes. So verse 27, the people of Israel inquired of He Who Is, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it in those days. So this is where we get the time stamp for when these stories take place. It's happening during the third high priest. Aaron was the first. He never went into the promised land. Eleazar was the second. He was there when the tribes were given their inheritance. His son Phinehas is now the high priest during this whole episode. And so that's why I place it where I place it. And what were they saying? They were saying, shall we go out once more to battle against our brothers, the people of Benjamin, or shall we cease? So we've been beat badly the last 2 days. We've lost 40,000. We've lost 10% of our original mustered up number against a people of only 27,000. Should we stop? Are we supposed to just back off now? So he who is said back, go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand. So at this point, God does say, now I will judge the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 29. So Israel set men in ambush around Gibeah, and the people of Israel went up against the people of Benjamin on the third day and set themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. So now they're going to do the whole thing that Joshua had done on the second battle of Ai. And that is, you set ambush, secret ambush places, attack the city. When they come out against you, you run away like you're getting beat again. And then at a certain signal, the people in ambush jump up behind, they start burning the city, attack the people from behind. You then turn around and attack them from the front, and you get this victory. So that's what they're going to do. Verse 31, the people of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And as at other times, they began to strike and kill some of the people in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah and in the open country. So this battle is apparently happening to the north of Gibeah. About 30 men of Israel, so 30 guys get killed in this. The people of Benjamin said, oh, they're routed before us as at the first. And the people of Israel said, let us flee, draw them away from the city to the highways. And all the people, or all the men of Israel, rose up out of their place and set themselves in array at Baal Tamor. And the men of Israel who were in ambush rushed out of their place from Ma'arah Geba. So these are areas to the north of the city of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of Israel. The battle was hard, but the Benjamites did not know that disaster was close upon them. And he who is defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the people of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day. All these were men who drew the sword. So the people of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. So it's a huge rout against the Benjamites. The very thing that you would have expected on day one now happens on day three. The men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin because they trusted to the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. Then the men in ambush hurried and rushed against Gibeah. The men in ambush moved out and struck all the city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in the main ambush was that when they made a great cloud of smoke rise up out of the city, the men of Israel should turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. They said, surely they're defeated before us as at the first battle. But when the signal began to rise out of the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and behold, the whole of the city went up in smoke to heaven. Then the men of Israel turned, and the men of Benjamin were dismayed, for they saw that disaster was close upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them, and those who came out of the cities were destroying them in their midst. Surrounding the Benjamites, they pursued them and trod them down from Nohah as far as opposite Gibeah on the east. 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, all of them of valor, and they turned and fled toward the wilderness of the rock of Rimon. So the battle was first engaged to the north of Gibeah, and then the rout, the fighting retreat, starts happening toward the east down the wadi toward the Jordan Valley. And when it's all done, this is how many Benjamites are going to be left. 5,000 men of them were cut down in the highways, and they were pursued hard to Gidom, and 2,000 men of them were struck down. And so all that fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men who drew the sword, all of them men of valor, but 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon and remained at the rock of Rimmon 4 months. So only 600 Benjamite men survived this military encounter. That's it. That's all the Benjamite men left. The rest of them have been slaughtered in this 3-day period, most of them on this third day. So the survivors barricade themselves, probably in a cave complex, there to the east of Gibeah, in the Rock of Rimmon area. What happens, and they do that for 4 months, what happens after this 4-month period began is this. The men of Israel turned back against the people of Benjamin, and they struck them with the edge of the sword. The men, the city, men and beasts, all they found, all the towns they found, they set on fire. So they basically go back and treat the tribe of Benjamin territory as if it's Canaanite territory. They go in and kill everybody that's left. They even kill the animals. And they burn the Benjamite cities, including Gibeah. Verse 1 of chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn at Mizpah, "No one of us shall give his daughter in marriage to Benjamin." So they had made an oath before God at Mizpah. When this is all finished, we are so mad, we are so angry with the Benjamite people that we will never allow our daughters to be married to their surviving sons. Not going to happen. So they have put themselves in an oath that they cannot get out of. Verse 2, the people came to Bethel, and they sat there till evening before God, and they lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. They said, "Oh, he who is the God of Israel, why has this happened in Israel that today there should be one tribe lacking in Israel?" So they feel like there's a tribe that is now gone. The next day, the people rose and they built there an altar and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Again, I remind you, they're doing stuff that they're making up. This is not the way it was supposed to be, but it's the period of the judges. The people of Israel said, "Which of all the tribes of Israel did not come up in the assembly of he who is? For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to he who is to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death." So they were so ticked off about this event that triggered all this, the rape and murder of the concubine, that they made another oath that any city that does not send representative militia members is also going to be cut off from Israel. They will be annihilated. Now, God didn't command any of this. The Israelis generated a lot of this trouble themselves. Verse 6, the people of Israel had compassion for Benjamin, their brother, and said, "One tribe is cut off from Israel this day. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we've sworn by he who is that we will not give them any of our daughters for wives?" So now they start realizing how rash their oath was. Their oath looks like it's going to cause the Benjamite tribe to go into extinction. Because not only have they cut down the Benjamite tribe to only 600 adult males left, They've also killed off all the wives and daughters and sons that were in the cities of the Benjamites. So what are they supposed to do now that they want to give Benjamin a chance to restart? They said, which one is there of the tribes of Israel that did not come up to he who is to Mizpah? And behold, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. Now that's about 60 miles away as the crow flies. It's up in the northern part of the Jordan Valley, just south of the Sea of Galilee. But it's on the east side of the Jordan River, across from Bethshan, just a few miles from Bethshan. So nobody bothered to come from that particular city. Verse 9, for when the people were mustered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. So the congregation sent 12,000 of their bravest men there and commanded them, go, strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, also the women and the little ones. This is what you shall do. Every male, every woman that's lain with a man, you shall devote to destruction. So basically, treat them like Canaanites. Wipe them out. Now, God did not command this. This is all happening. It's triggered by an oath that these guys took. So they go out and wipe out an entire another city of Israel, except for the virgin women. Verse 12, they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. So they brought the 400 virgin women from the surviving girls of Jabesh-Gilead's annihilation. They brought them to the tabernacle at Shiloh. And always remember, this is happening because the Israelis are making up their own rules. That's the theme of the book of Judges. It's not good. Verse 13. Then the whole congregation sent word to the people of Benjamin who were at the Rock of Rimmon and proclaimed peace to them. Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh, but they were not enough for them. And the people had compassion on Benjamin because he who is had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, what should we do for wives for those that are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin that a tribe not be blotted out from Israel. Yet we can't give them wives from our daughters, for the people of Israel have sworn, cursed be he who gives a wife to Benjamin. So they fixed the problem for 400 of the Benjamite surviving men. But they've still got 200 guys, and they don't feel like the 400 is a big enough pool of genetic starting material. So they want to fix this. So what are they going to do? They're going to make up more rules. So they said to each other, behold, there is a yearly feast of he who is at Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and south of Lebanon. So this would be the Feast of Tabernacles we're talking about. They commanded the people of Benjamin, saying, go, lie in ambush in the vineyards and watch. If the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in the dances, then come out of the vineyards, snatch each man his wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and then go to the land of Benjamin. And when their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, we will say to them, grant them graciously to us, because we did not take for each man of them his wife in battle, neither did you give them to them, else you would not be guilty. So basically, they're going to say, look, you kidnap some single women when they're dancing during the Feast of Tabernacles, and we'll look past that, and we'll pay off the guys whose daughters you end up kidnapping. So this is just rules being made up out of the blue because these guys are not living by the standards of God. So the people of Benjamin did so, and they took their wives according to their number from the dancers whom they carried off. Then they went and returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the cities and lived in them. And the people of Israel departed from there at that time, each man or every man to his tribe and family. And they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. And then comes that theme verse again to remind us, God's not approving of this stuff. He's letting them do their sin choices and reap the consequences from them. So here's the verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And I always told my younger students at that point, and that's not a good thing. It isn't. When we make up our own rules, instead of following God's way of doing things, we are going to run into serious problems. So that finishes this story, but it has impact upon a later story, and I want you to keep it in mind. Because Saul, who becomes the first king of United Israel, comes from Gibeah, the very town where this event started, which is rebuilt and repopulated. Saul is going to be related in some way to the city of Jabesh-Gilead because 400 of the women from that town ended up getting married to Benjamites. And Saul may have actually descended from a Jabesh-Gileadite woman. And Jabesh-Gilead will be a town that Saul goes out of his way to rescue whenever he becomes a king. And it will be the town of Jabesh-Gilead that rescues Saul's decapitated body from Beth-shan after he dies in a later battle. So all of that is related back to this sad story here. Well, we're out of time for today. Have a great rest of this day, and I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, for another story from the book of Judges.